the ultimate man, the ultimate state that a believer can attain until he receives his full inheritance, and that is the redemption of his body and his soul, is to be filled with all of the fullness of God, like Jesus. And when you say to be like Jesus, that's a concept that's hard for some folks to swallow. And it's no wonder that it's hard for them to swallow with all the teaching of unworthiness and sin and inability and lack of authority that has gone on, not from the world, but in the body of Christ. We've had preachers, we've had people in churches tell us we were unworthy. We didn't have ability. Things had passed away with the apostles. We didn't have anything available to us anymore. We just had to tough it out. And after a while, by and by, we would make it. Praise the Lord. But that's not what the book says. So we have not dared to dream. We have not dared to hope. We haven't dared to strive and therefore to attain. And the lack of hope gives faith nothing to work with. Isn't that what Hebrews 11 says? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So the lack of hope gives faith nothing to work on. Isn't that true? All right. Believers therefore go about unfulfilled. They vent their frustrations in a life of carnality while all the time a state of maturity or perfection is available to them. But they don't know because they haven't been told and they haven't learned how to rightly divide the word of God. Amen? Praise God. But the ultimate man is a man who has learned to appropriate. That means to use all of the promises of God. He is totally without fear, and he functions in all the abilities that God has delegated for humans here on the earth to use, and in short, he is at peace. He's at peace. That's the ultimate man. And because of the kind of the revelation that is now coming forth from anointed teachers in the Word of God, it appears that God has started his countdown on getting the body of Christ matured in order to do the job that he has for them to do in this world. The tongues and interpretation that go forth in a church where God is moving will always support what the word is saying. So the interpretation this morning that we are free, amen, the interpretation that we are going to be a blessing, we're anointed, we're edified, we're built up to be a blessing. And that's what God has in store for us. Not that we'll lack, not that we'll be behind in anything. Amen? And God is going to work this in the body of Christ. Now see, the mistake we make is that we come into churches and we expect churches to be perfect. How can they be? You just came. Amen? So no matter where you go, not only are you taking you with you, but others like you are going there not to make it perfect, but to get help. The idea of coming somewhere is to mature. Amen? To mature. Everybody say that. But turn to Matthew, the 13th chapter with me, and let's get started. I heard from Pastor Sarah this morning before I came out. She had a girl talk meeting yesterday in Nashville. She said she preached 3 hours and then they took a break and they began to answer questions. She preached 3 hours. And nobody went anywhere. And they came back with questions and they didn't get through with those. She said they could have stayed there 8 hours. But why is that? Because the Spirit is moving and people are hungry. When you get hungry, you won't come to the table and grab a crust of bread and then run out and say, I don't have any more time. When you're hungry, you slide up under the table and almost not say the grapes. You know, involuntary reaching before you. When folks are hungry, they come to be fed. In Matthew, the 13th chapter, we see Jesus giving this parable, which also is recorded in Mark 4. The 13th chapter in verse 3, it says, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them, but other fell into good ground." Everybody say, good ground.
Good ground.
"And brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold," say hundredfold.
"Hundredfold.
Some sixtyfold," say sixtyfold.
"Sixtyfold.
Some thirtyfold," say thirtyfold. And he concludes, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Amen. All right. I want to go in the opposite direction from what Jesus laid it out there. He said 100, 60, and 30. I want to start at the 30-fold, go to the 60-fold, and then go to 100-fold, because that's the way things grow. Isn't that true? We start out small and then we get large. When we come to Christ, we are given an initial gift because we have no capacity whatsoever to understand an invisible, omnipresent, omniscient God. We have no capacity to even deal with an entity like that. So God, in his infinite grace and wisdom, deposits in us an initial deposit of faith. Turn to Ephesians 2:8. And in the King James, I only use the King James because it's the version that everybody has, but I throw anything in here that will help you understand it better. I was thinking about writing a translation of my own, but I just didn't have time. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Notice verse 9, "not of works, lest any man should boast." There's a translation called the Richard Francis Weymouth translation, which renders that verse this way. "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's God's gift, and is not on the ground of merit, so that it may be impossible for anyone to boast." The simple gift of faith for salvation allows a man to receive the word which was sown and begin his growth as a believer. When you got saved, you were a baby. Amen? You might have been grown in the physical sense where you were a baby. You were a baby in the spiritual sense. So it is necessary that you grow. That's easy to understand. Amen? And in order to do that, God sometimes comes along and he helps us out, because he knows that some of us are going to wind up at places where the preacher is in just as bad shape as we are. So God will sometimes do things to help our growth, not the least of which is put the Holy Spirit inside of us that will be a guide. If you're somewhere where you're not getting fed, and you're a believer and you have the Holy Spirit in you, you cannot tell me that the Holy Spirit is not telling you to go somewhere where you can be fed.
Amen.
But you stay because grandma was there, and this one was there, and that one, my family, and all that kind of stuff, which has nothing to do with you. If you're going to grow, sometimes you're going to have to cut loose.
Amen.
Family and friends, and come where you can grow. Amen. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. There are many ministers, and let me just say, I'm not knocking ministers. I am knocking the fact that given the opportunity, shepherds sometimes don't feed the sheep. So it's a blessing to know what the scripture is saying and be able to receive it. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations." You see that word? That means ministries. But the same Lord that's ministered to and for. "And there are diversities of operations." In other words, the operation, God will operate supernaturally the way he decides at times. "But it is the same God which worketh all in all. And then go to Romans 12. Amen. Back up to Romans 12, verse number 6. And you see this. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Are you there? Romans 12, that's verse 6. Verse 7. Or ministry, you just talked about that in 1 Corinthians 12. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. That interpretation came forth this morning too. Wait on the Lord. Ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. If God is going to bless you with a teaching gift, you don't have to run out here and just, you know, try to make it happen yourself. He sometimes sits you down long enough so you'll have something to teach. Amen. Amen. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. The Holy Spirit has the option, after you have been born again, of imparting spiritual gifts to the believer as he wills. And since he does it as he wills, he can give gifts to the most infant baby Christian. As a matter of fact, he does, and he does it because we need help to grow. We need confidence. And sometimes God will give a baby Christian some gifts when he won't give mature Christians gifts because they have the word of God and they have wisdom and they should know some things. So sometimes the supernatural, well, I'll put it another way. Sometimes the spectacular comes along to benefit the babies and the mature people no longer need the spectacular because they're always in the supernatural. Amen. So the Holy Spirit has the option of imparting spiritual gifts to the believer as he wills and at his discretion. And we find in verse 28, I believe this is verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 12. It says, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps. You see that there? Ministry of helps. Right in that same verse with the apostles and the prophets. Helps, governments, people that run the organization, and diversities of tongues, which we heard this morning, along with the interpretation of the tongue. All those things God considers supernatural and they are considered gifts to the body. Amen? All right. God has established various believers in different offices, each performing needed support functions, including deacons, elders, overseers, etc. Now, this you could call, at this stage, you could call this putting down roots, or you could call this the 30-fold level of faith. People are given gifts. They may be brand new. People get saved. People are given various gifts to use that not only helps them to grow, but it helps others to grow. Do you see the picture? All right? But then in the body of Christ, we have what I call overgrown babes. Overgrown babies. First time I preached this message, I used this example. Overgrown babies are the ones who say, I don't want to grow up, I'm a Toys R Us kid. You know the kind? I've been in the way a long time. Don't tell me anything. You knew Johnny come lately. I was here when you was out in the world. Yes, and you were doing the same thing you're doing now. Nothing. Amen? There are Christians who make decisions not to proceed any further than the milk and the pablum stage, spiritually. And unfortunately, we tend to bring bad habits from our former ways of life into the kingdom of God. And if we don't renew our minds on the kingdom of God, we're just big babies in the way of other people who want to grow. Let the whole world say amen.
Amen.
Sometimes you have to appeal to the lights and the chairs to say amen when you start stepping on people's corns, you know. You say amen, walls. Amen. We have to renew our minds. with the Word of God to change those habits and the lack of discipline which so many of us suffer from. And some of us suffer from low horizons. We don't expect to do anything. And so when somebody presents this grand panorama to us of places that we can grow to, fear sets in because we never had high horizons in the first place. All right? I need you to write this down. Anybody standing still in the kingdom of God is going backwards because the kingdom moves on. I said, anybody standing still in the kingdom of God is going backwards because the kingdom keeps moving on. But then, in Romans, the 8th chapter, once you pass the baby stage, you know what passing the baby stage really means? Making a decision that you're willing to go further. All right? Lord, I want to grow. I don't know how, but I'm willing to listen and be obedient and receptive to anything that you tell me that will help my growth. All right? I'm not going to rely on my past. I'm not going to be entrenched in my way. I'm going to be flexible and sensitive to the Spirit of God because I want to grow in the things of God. Amen? That's when you move out of the 30-fold state of growth. And Romans 8, the 19th verse says this: for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. When I first read that, it boggled my mind, because if I read that correctly, it's saying that all of creation is alive. And all of creation, rock, mountain, stream, river, tree, everything is alive because it was all created by God and given life. And it's all, while it can't talk and it isn't intelligent like we are, it is sensitive to the things that goes on around it. Okay? For we know that the whole of creation, and it also says in the margin, every creature groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. You listening to me? Verse 23. And not only they, not only the creation and the creatures in the creation, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, or that is, the redemption of our body. Listen to me now. When you got saved, your spirit was changed. Your mind and your body wasn't. Bible tells us to renew our minds. It tells us how. On the Word of God, it tells us not to be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You do that with the Word of God. More word in, the more good works out. Amen? But the one thing that we can't do too much about yet is these bodies. And the Apostle Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present. Who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? This body is trying to kill me. My spirit is changed. My mind is being changed, but the body still has its earthly desires because it's of the earth. And so it is groaning itself, waiting to be changed. And that change will not come about completely until the rapture, when in the twinkling of an eye, we are changed. You say, well, then that gives me excuse to do anything I want. No, it doesn't. The scripture says we have been given the earnest or the down payment of our inheritance in the form of the Holy Spirit, which is continually working to perfect the deeds of this body, so that we are without excuse. All right? You listening? We are destined to be born again. Aha. We were born. We got born again. And we're going to be born again. We were born into this world. We were born of the Spirit. And we're destined to be changed, our bodies. That's born again. Amen? You got that? All right. The church age, that we're living in now, started at the day of Pentecost, has about 2,000 years to run, so we're close to the end of it. The church age is like a second travail or labor period. You say, how can that be, Pastor? Well, look at it this way. God travailed for us through Israel until Christ was formed and brought forth. You got that? Now the Holy Spirit travails for us, laboring to bring us to a state of maturity in preparation for this change that's going to come about where we're delivered from the bondage of this carnality. Does that make sense to you? We are being prepared for the millennium. And it's a process. Yeah, if there's disease in your body, you need to know that the healing virtue of Christ is moving in that body to perfect a healing and a cure to get you ready to go out and be a benefit to somebody. God doesn't want to use a broken down vessel, so he put the Spirit of Christ in you that's doing the same work in you as he was doing in the multitudes back there when they walked the earth. He didn't go to heaven to leave us. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. Stand by. Hallelujah. He's going to lead and guide you into all truth, and he'll even show you things to come. He said that. Amen. So he's travailing. The Spirit of God is laboring to bring us to a state of maturity in preparation for our deliverance from the bondage of these human bodies or tabernacles. But I got news for you. Treat this thing good. It's the only one you have until we are delivered. Don't mess it up. Put stuff in it. Not supposed to be there. You know? And get some exercise once in a while, too, while you're at it. Excuse me. Amplified Translation, Romans 8. Hallelujah. Eat some vegetables. Eat that fat back along. Hallelujah. Amplified Romans 8:14 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Who has shouting words right there? And go to verse 29. It says, for those whom he foreknew, of whom he was aware and loved beforehand, listening to this, he also destined from the beginning. Hallelujah. Destined from the beginning. Those he loved beforehand, we'll call that pregnancy. When God was pregnant with us. Amen. Those he loved beforehand, he also destined from the beginning. That means foreordaining us to be molded, a process, molded into the image of his son and share inwardly his likeness, that he, meaning Christ, might become the firstborn among many brethren. Now, wait a minute. If Christ is going to become the firstborn among many brethren, that means there have to be other born. And if he's going to be the firstborn among many brethren, that means the other born brethren will be like him. They're not going to be something different. If he's the firstborn, if he's the pattern, if he's the prototype, then that means that we have some ability to be like him. If that doesn't raise your horizons, I don't know what will. Amen. Because he walked perfect and he had all the gifts and he had all power. So you say, Pastor, does that mean I can be Jesus? No, you can't be Jesus, but you can be his brother. And you can have similar traits. You can have gifts operating in you. You can have power over the circumstances of your life, and you can say to your circumstances, peace, be still, when the devil is running all around crazy. See, the devil doesn't run around crazy by himself. He always runs around crazy in somebody. That's why you shouldn't blame your wife, your husband, your children, your boss when they're running around crazy. Just speak to the devil in the spirit and say, let my wife alone. Let loose my children, devil, in the name of Jesus. Because that's who's running around, making them run around. And I'm not saying they're possessed. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying they're influenced. See, the devil is not running around in them if they're believers. He's running around beside them. Amen? Amen? He's running around beside them. Come here a minute. I want to show you what the devil's doing. Here he is. He's going. See, you don't want to run, but he... And at some point, you have to stop and say, no, I'm not going with you. Hallelujah. He'll run you if you let him. No matter who you are, no matter how spiritual you are. Pastor Sarah went down to Nashville. She had written me a letter some time ago and told me everything, including she was leaving me. You all laugh. It was serious. And she wanted to know if I would let her use this letter down in Nashville. I said, go ahead. And she said she read this letter, and it had to do with how angry I could become and take things out on her. The nearest, dearest person to you sometimes catches the vent of your anger. Men will come home from the job after being put down by a boss and take it out on their wife and children because they're afraid to say something to the boss. They don't want to lose the job. But the wife and the children weren't the ones that gave them the hard time. The boss was. You see? So the enemy would come home and say, you don't have to take that off them, you know, and get you into a state where you won't know yourself, no matter how high and mighty and full of faith you think you are. And the thing that blessed me, she said, one of the pastor's wives was there and said to her, oh, I'm so glad you read that letter. She said, I have been the most hard-headed person. And this person she was talking about, you'd never believe, just like you don't believe it of me, mild-mannered Clark Kent. But it's true. Patience and temper. My problems. I'm still working on it. Don't crowd me, though. No. I'm better. Hallelujah. That he might become the firstborn, glory among many brethren. And now you have to get your confession straight. You know what we have to put out our vocabularies and I speak? Honey, when I was not saved, you know, you come up to me like that, I had something for you. You have to stop talking that stuff. Amen. Because you know it don't mean anything. How many of you saw that, what was one of those, the trilogy, which was it? Indiana Jones trilogy, where these guys come up and they're waving the knives and, you know, stuff like that. And he said, bam! So when you talk about how bad you were, always remember somebody out there was badder. So that stuff don't mean nothing. Come on. I tell you what you need to do, though, start walking in the love of God. Oh, now, see, the devil always can find somebody better than you, but he cannot match the love of God. That's what he can't do. Hallelujah. We're being molded. Molded. Everybody say molded.
Molded.
Say, I'm being molded.
I'm being molded.
And say, I'm agreeing to being molded.
I'm agreeing to being molded.
That's the ticket. Now you're in the 60-fold growth area. You got it? Turn to 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. 2 Thessalonians. Hallelujah. Oh, the Spirit of God is in this place. Do you all know that? Ooh, that is something else. 2 Thessalonians, the 1st chapter and the 3rd verse in the Amplified Translation reads this way. We ought and indeed are obligated as those in debt to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, as is fitting, because your faith is growing exceedingly. Are you at 2 Thessalonians 1:3? Okay, I'm in the Amplified, so you just read along. That your faith is growing exceedingly, and the love of every one of you, each toward the others, is increasing and abounds. Hey, here's something you need to know. We're always talking about faith, and people want this and that, and what things soever you desire, which is fine. Jesus said it. It's true. But I need you to know, it is in the midst of contradicting and challenging circumstances that growth takes place. When everything is easy, when everybody is treating you good, when everything is right, face it, you're not growing. You're not growing because there's no stress. You're not growing because there's nothing up against you. Your muscles are not being tense. You're not pushing against anything. You're not growing. But when you get in the middle of a firefight with the devil, you know that you're growing. You don't feel like you're growing. Sometimes you feel awful because some of the things that come in your mind and all. But I want you to know that when pressure comes against you and you start to resist in the name of Jesus and with the word of God, you're in the 60-fold growth period. You're starting to stress and strengthen yourself and be built up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's in the midst of those things. Sometimes a time of disappointment. Sometimes it's a time of challenge. Sometimes it's even a time of outright defeat. You fell, you got beat, you fell down, you lost it. But the growth comes when you get up. And not go back that way, but get up. If you have to crawl. Hallelujah. Get up. Get up. Hallelujah. I want you to say this with me. Every obstacle encountered is experience gained. Every obstacle encountered and overcome is experience gained. See, when you come over and the devil comes again that way, you say, come on, come on. Hallelujah. So often the enemy wants us to think we're whipped. He'll cloud your mind into thinking you lost when you're on the verge of winning. Hallelujah. Darkness just before the dawn. Hallelujah. You feel the worst when you're just about to feel the best. And he doesn't want you to know it. That's the most critical time in your growth period, right there. Amen? When everything is happening. And you wonder, Lord, I wasn't this bad off when I was unsaved. Yes, you were. You just didn't know it. You were numb. Sin had numbed your brain. You were stupid and dumb and ignorant. You know, they say ignorance is bliss. You're just walking happy, you know, like people when they're drunk. You know, people, they're drunk, they have, hey, go ahead, everything. Five. But I'm all right. I never felt better in my wife. I've never been drunk, you know. I just... I just watched them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Every obstacle that you come over is experience gain. And this growth period that I'm talking about, that stress, that pressure, that, you know, you don't pay any attention to your feelings, because you may feel worse than you ever felt. But see, the difference is, before, you didn't have anything. Now you're equipped with the Word of God. Let me just tell you in short why you're under so much pressure. You are a threat in the spirit realm. You are threatening the devil's position. He's scared to death of you, because if after he puts all this on you, you come through, struggling though you might, but you come through, because you won't turn around, and because you won't turn to the side, and because you keep pressing on, and because you set your face like flint, he's scared to death of you. Scared to death of you. And when you can't move on, you just hold on. And won't let go. He knows you bad. And he doesn't want you to know that you got over. He wants you to feel beaten and defeated. Because if you ever get a glimpse of who you really are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Once you get through that, turn to Ephesians 4. And some of you need to hear these words in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hey, glory to God. It says, in verse 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And you notice there's a semicolon there. So the thought is not ended. Why? For the perfecting of the saint. All those things. See that? Apostles were not given to the body for them to be exalted. Prophets to be exalted above measure. Evangelists to be put on a pedestal, nor pastors, nor teachers. All of us, human. Our purpose is to perfect and mature you. Why? For the work of the ministry. The work of whose ministry? Yours, not ours. Why would you be perfected for the work of our ministry? If you're going to be matured, it would have to be for the work of what you're supposed to be doing. Amen. All right. For the work of the ministry, it says right here, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The work of the ministry is the building up of the body of Christ. For what purpose? Till we all come. That includes the apostles. That includes the prophets. That includes the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Till all of us together come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. We're supposed to start knowing collectively what Jesus knows. Unto a perfect man, a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Notice that we henceforth be no more children. Remember, we started out children. Toys are us kids. We started out children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. We didn't know what to believe. Ran to this meeting, ran to that meeting, read this book, read that book, listened to that tape, and didn't know what was right. And we just, blah, 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 blah. We didn't know what was right. But after a while, as we begin to mature and our spirits gave credence to the truth that we heard, and the truth was established in our hearts, we no longer were carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. in cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, we begin to grow up into him in all things. Everybody say in all things.
In all things.
Not just while we're in church. We begin to grow up on the job. We begin to grow up at home. We begin to grow up as husbands. We begin to grow up as wives. We begin to grow up as children, respecting our parents. Amen. We begin to grow up. You got that? Into him and all things, which is the head, even Christ. And it goes on with a description of Christ, that he's the, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted, and every joint supplying that which it's supposed to. Did you get that? Amen. All right. The ultimate man is the man who, through the ongoing ministry of the apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and the Holy Ghost, has grown into a mature being. He's now stable. He's grounded. He's settled. He's fervent. And he's reverent. He's not afraid of God, but he fears God in a reverent sense. He has respect for the offices that are placed in the Bible. He has respect for himself as a believer. And he has respect for the body of Christ, so that he doesn't want to do anything that will bring the position of Christ in the earth into disrepute. He's now thinking more of others than he's thinking of himself. He's now mature. All right? Go back to Romans 8 with me briefly. What does this mature believer begin to do? Remember we read in verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. We read that? Not only they, but ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We read that? Look at verse 26. In the same way, likewise, in the same way that creation is groaning in itself, in the same way that we ourselves are groaning within ourselves, groaning in travail, trying to, looking forward to something happening, in the same way the Holy Spirit also helpeth our weaknesses, infirmities, not sicknesses, weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. When we make our petitions are so limited because we're only making petitions within the parameter of things that we know about. Okay? We don't know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself, change that itself to himself, would you please? Holy Spirit's a person. That's not a good translation right there. The Holy Spirit himself maketh intercession for us. Look at this. With groanings that cannot be uttered. You have a little space next to uttered, put in intelligible speech. That's what it means. Cannot be uttered in intelligible speech. The Holy Spirit. And it goes on to say, and he that searcheth the heart, the hearts, who's that? God knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit is God. Because he, the Holy Spirit, maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You got that? Do you understand that? When the Holy Spirit is groaning and travailing for you, his intercession is made for you in absolute accordance with the will of God. While you don't know what to pray for, he knows the mind of God because he is God. So what you have is God, who knows everything, praying his own will for you. I said you have access to God inside of you, who begins to groan and travail according to his own will to bring about things that you don't even know about. Oh, glory. And we know, verse 28, that all things, all what things? Us groaning, him groaning, us petitioning, the Holy Spirit interceding according to the word of God. We know that all these things that are talked about here in this chapter, the operations of the Spirit of God, all these things work together. Not everything works together. He's not talking about everything. He's talking about what he's been talking about. He's been talking about the Spirit of God. Started off in the beginning of the chapter talking about carnality, talking about walking in the Spirit instead of walking in the flesh, talking about if we are led by the Spirit, we're the sons of God, talking about the fact that the creation and we ourselves are groaning, waiting to be delivered from these tabernacles. And then he said, the Spirit is groaning, and the Spirit is groaning in travail, trying to cause us to be formed and grow up. And we'll pray the perfect will of God while we're still out here making petitions about what we know not. That's why it's necessary to have the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and learn how to pray in the Spirit and pray in tongues. Because when we're praying in tongues, we're praying mysteries, and the devil doesn't even know what we're talking about. If he knew, he'd try to block it. So God just said, you know, circumvent that. You circumvent him, just go around him. It's not his business. So we pray in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, who knows the mind of God and God knows the mind of the Spirit, makes intercession for, meaning on behalf of, and for, meaning ministers to, the saints, according to the will of God. You got that? So groaning in the Spirit is travail by the Holy Spirit according to the will of God. And all these things, groaning, intercession, petition, between us and the Holy Spirit, work together for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Look at verse 29. Remember verse 29? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that his son might be the firstborn among many brethren. We read that, right? It says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whoa! When you got saved, you called. But because you called, that means you also were predestined. God knew you were going to be. God knew that you were going to answer the call. That's why you called. Did you know that? God knew you were going to answer the call. So he called those that were going to answer the call. And when he called them, he also justified. That means made them righteous. And whom he justified or made righteous, them he also glorified. And what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, if God be for us, who would even think about being against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, how many of you know that you're not ready to get all things yet? Because some of us are still in the toy store. Some of us are still being stretched and bent and molded and manipulated. We're not ready yet. But we can, at some point, move into that state where God can feel comfortable about blessing us with anything because we can now handle it. Go to Colossians 1:9. I don't know if this blesses you, but I see, I didn't hear anybody preach this stuff like this when I was growing up. That's why I was in such bad shape. So were you. Don't look at me like that. Verse number 19. For it pleased the Father that in him, what him, in Christ, should all fullness dwell. Go to chapter 2. If you haven't got to 1 yet, keep on going. Chapter 2, verse number 3. Read it out loud. In whom are what? hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Oh, go to verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And verse 10. And let's change that. Let's make that ye, I. And I am complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Whoa. Here we've got Christ, who is the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, all dwelt in him in bodily form. And in him are hid all of the, not some, all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And that's who we are. We're in him. Oh my goodness. We're where the treasures of wisdom and knowledge have been hid. That's where we live. Somewhere around us are the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. God has hid us where the treasures are hid. Seems like every once in a while we should bump into one or two of them. Amen. Ephesians, the third chapter. Verse number 14. Apostle is praying for the church at Ephesus. This is a part of what we call the Ephesians prayer, which begins in the first chapter around verse 15 or 16. He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We're all in that family. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. What is the inner man? Everybody say, the inner man is my spirit. So this is saying that we should be strengthened with God's might in our spirits. Got that? That Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. That's the only way Christ dwells in your heart, by faith. You have to believe that he's there, because he said he'd be there if you ask him to be there. All right? Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded, not in faith, but in love. Rooted, grounded. Say it with me. Rooted, grounded. Rooted, grounded in love. Oh. If you're rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend, understand, with all the rest of the saints, what is the breadth, length, depth, height, and to know, and to know, not know about, to have experience in, to know the love of Christ, because that love passes, is beyond knowledge. Now look, watch this. When we get to that point of maturity, we will be filled with the fullness of God. Whoa. The ultimate man is complete in Christ, in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in bodily form, and in whom all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hid. Christ lives in this man's heart by faith. And this man has come to understand and experience the love of Christ to the point that he's filled with the fullness of God. He's walking around a container, mostly God. Little bit of him is left because he's still human, but it's mostly God. All right? The ultimate man doesn't fret because he's walking around the fullness of God. Ultimate man doesn't hate. The love of God is too full up in him. He can't hate. The love of the ultimate man readily forgives. And he forgives because he is convinced of the value and the preciousness of the individual that he forgives. Oh, you didn't get that. I said, He forgives readily because when you do something wrong to him, instead of him looking at you as the adversary, he looks at you and he says, this is one of God's. This one belongs to God. Charles said something I didn't like, but Charles belongs to God. I forgive you. You're precious to God. And if you're precious to God, you got to be precious to me. I forgive readily. I'm growing up. I used to get mad. Say, come outside. I'll whip you. Now you say, that's all right. It's okay. And not just say okay. You know, some people say, it's okay. Some people will write a novel on one situation that you did to them and put it in a lockbox and remember it forever. Amen? But this person, you did something, he closes the book, gets rid of the book, and remembers it. The ultimate man, the stronghold of the carnal and the natural has been broken over his life. Doesn't mean it doesn't come against him, but when it comes against him, the mature man begins to say, the mature man begins to think about all of the people that will be involved if he misses it and begins to say, no, it's not worth that. I'm telling you, this is what maturity is. This man perseveres until that which is not becomes that which is. I said he keeps on until that which is not suddenly becomes that which is. Amen? And while he's persevering, he's not saying, God, how long? I'm tired of this. Now I'm tired. He just keeps. And one day he looks up and the Lord taps him on the shoulder and says, you can stop now. We're here. I mean, that which is not has become that which is. Amen. And he has learned. Oh, here's another one. The ultimate man has learned the significance of closed as well as open doors. The ultimate man, the mature man, when a door is closed, he stops and say, now God, shall we tear this one down? Or do you want me to go through this one? And he stops long enough to hear what the Spirit says. And the Spirit might say, don't worry about that one. Go this way. And when he turns this way, there's an open door that he didn't see. No stress, no pain, no problem. Walks right through it. Other person is not quite so mature. He's still back there butting and beating and kicking and scratching. He said, I don't understand why this door won't come down. And the other man has walked through the door that God opened for him. What's the moral of that story? Don't try to open doors on your own. See that sign out there on the marquee? Me and you, God, mostly you. This man that has gotten saved by the gift of God, that has gone through stress and pain and disappointment and sometimes fallen, but got up and kept going and wouldn't say die. This man, instead of being marred by the experiences, instead of being hardened by the experience, this man has become mellowed and begin to experience the complete love of God. Now he's just walking around, you know, with knowledge. And the enemy is starting to steer clear around him because he doesn't want to look bad in an encounter
with this one. You see that? Praise God. The ultimate name.
Now let me say this to you and I'll close. When you first get saved, always remember that preachers in the body of Christ, teachers in the body of Christ, are called upon to minister in certain ways. Certain ministers are called on to present to you the ultimate as a goal that you're always supposed to be aiming at. Other ministers are called on to do different things. Some ministers, as Pastor John said on Wednesday night, some ministers are called to dispense pabulum. That's the mercy of God, because babies need pabulum. And some people are gifted at pabulum. Nothing wrong with that. It's just that's their ministry. So you need to know, as a believer, that this book always holds out the ultimate to you for you to point at and aim at. Don't be discouraged if you're not there yet. Just say, I'm on the way. No matter what happens, say, I'm on the way. Crawling, I'm on the way. Stressed, I'm on the way. Pressured, I'm on the way. Amen? I'm on the way to maturity. But one of these days, I'm going to be grown up in Christ. And I'll know when I'm grown up. Because when I'm grown up, suddenly I'm going to stop concerning myself about me so much, and my vision is going to start being for other people. I know that I'm just about there when I start thinking about you instead of me. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the truth. Ooh, we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free.